That's right.
And then you
and then we'll
to,
auction it.
Then you auction a new one.
Thank you. To the Wednesday meeting of the Anchorage East Rotary Club. We're continuing to have full houses, which is just wonderful. There's some seats over here in the far table, but we're just about full. We're going to start off with the Pledge of Allegiance by Karen Smith and inspiration from Eleanor Andrews, who's sitting right over here, Dave. So, okay, Karen.
Guests and fellow Rotarians, please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Eleanor.
Thank you. Is this on? Okay. This is a quote from Martin Luther King, if you would just reflect with me. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. The true neighbor will risk his position, his prestige, and even his life for the welfare of others. And that's putting others above self. I thought it was appropriate for Rotary. Thank you.
Thank you, Eleanor. That's a great quote. To Karen, thank you for doing such a good job in leading us. And I have to tell you, when my daughter was in kindergarten, she was elected. Excuse me. The president's going to tell a joke, so everybody needs to pay attention. That's one of the rules, you know. At least that's what they told me when I said I'd do it. Anyway, Karen, I was going to tell you, my daughter was in kindergarten, and she was elected sergeant-at-arms of the school, which is what kindergartners can run to. And her responsibility was to lead the school in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and go to the speaker every day and lead the school. And she came home when she was elected, and I said, and Jenny told me, she said, Dad, I was elected sergeant-at-arms. And I said, well, what do you have to do? And she said, well, I have to lead the school in the Pledge of Allegiance. And I said, well, Jenny, do you know the Pledge of Allegiance? She said, well, I don't have to know it. I just have to say, ready, begin. So, I thought that was pretty practical, and she did a great job as sergeant-at-arms. So, okay, I'd like to thank Gwen Lee and Michael Broder, our team captains, for this week and for the next 3 weeks. So Gwen and Michael, thank you very much. Our greeters, Jim Liska and Pam Fennesand. And I got hugs from both of them, actually, today, which is very nice. Pam gave me a hug, and I gave Jim a hug, so that was good. And introducing visiting Rotarians is my hug master, Jim Liska. Jim?
Fellow Rotarians, join me in welcoming the following visiting Rotarians. Mary Doppelfeld from Anchorage Hillside Rotary, whose classification is Educational Consultant. Mary?
Hi, Mary.
From Anchorage Downtown Rotary, Bill Bass, classification Food Broker. Bill?
Hi, Bill.
Vivian Murray, classification Medical. Vivian? Alex Sifka, classification Finance.
Hi, Alex.
From Anchorage South Rotary, our good friend Matthew Nicolai.
Hey, Matthew.
And also, please welcome Sue Sampson, classification medicine. Sue?
Hi, Sue. Well, good. We've got a couple of visitors who used to be members, Sue and Matthew. You know, great to have you guys. Great to have you guys back. I know you do, Matthew. We love you, too. That's right. I may ask you to give a moose call or two here during the course of... I went to Matthew's house last week with a number of other people, and we had lessons in moose calling, and it is so entertaining. I mean, there's not many people in Alaska I can listen to talk for an hour and a half, but Matthew, he talks, he entertains, he tells jokes, he calls moose, and he called in 7 curious people from the bike trail who came in to try to find the moose. He didn't find the moose, but there was a lot of people looking for the moose that they heard out there. So, but the good news was we didn't shoot any of them. So, okay. The head table. I'd like to introduce the head table. I asked the question this week of the head table, who is the most inspirational person or teacher in your life? I sort of started out with teacher and then went to person in general. So some gave most inspirational teachers, others the most inspirational person. And for Sandra Wicks, who's on your immediate left, long time and a wonderful Rotarian, Sandra has done so much for the club and for the community. Her most inspirational person was her mother, who went through so much diversity, but yet still focus on giving Sandra a great life. And to Sandra's left is Gwen Lee, and her most inspirational teacher was her high school math teacher. This gave her confidence that she could handle mathematics, and she said she would have even become a math major had she not gone into teaching something else or wanted to teach something else. And Diana Strzok, her most inspirational teacher was her high school geography teacher. This is touching. Who taught her to love rocks? That's so sweet, Diane. I almost teared up when you told me that. Jim Olson would have started crying, you know. Okay, where's Jim? Is Jim here? Jim, no. You would have. She would have said that. I know you. Okay. To my left is our speaker also, and he'll be speaking. It's Amber Batari. He's a refugee from Bhutan, and his most influential person in his life, most inspirational person, was his mother. And without his mother, he would not have gone to school. He would not have learned English. He would not have been here in America. So he's very inspired by his mother. And Karen Ferguson, our speaker also, she's with Catholic Social Services. Her most inspirational person was her grandfather, who was a refugee from Belarus, and he ran a Jewish fish market. And by making that money, he helped his son go to school, Karen's father, his son Karen's father, go to school and become a surgeon and help Karen become the person she is now. So that's our head table, and that's the most inspirational people. Okay, don't forget the yellow cups. If everybody, just want to remind everybody to put $1 or $2 in the yellow cups to help Susanna. And we're going to get her last name right. For a long time, we were calling her Bellaccio, but that's her third name. And I think it's good for all of us to remember that in Spanish, and it just went right over my head at first. In Spanish, the third name tells where they're from. It's not their surname. So if you see Alfredo González Lajarta, that means he's from Lajarta, and his last name is González. So the middle name is her last name. That's her surname. So, and I've forgotten what it is. I knew you were going to ask me that. Who remembers what her middle name, what her surname is? What is it? Cuellaga. Cuellar. Cuellar. Susanna Cuellar. Cuellar. I shouldn't have started that story if I didn't remember her last name. Why did I do that? I don't know. Okay. Okay, happy dollars and proud dollars and no fine button, but happy dollars and proud dollars. Sergeant at Arms, David Young. David.
Thank you, Rick. Well, welcome everybody to Anchorage East Rotary, and especially those Rotarians that decided to come and visit us. Hey, got a kind of a funny story for you. I was down in Montana, saw my older sister down there, and there was an incident that happened a long time ago in Montana where she got her gas bill, and it was very high, and it was getting close to 5 o'clock. And so my sister decides, I'm going to call up Great Falls Gas Company and complain. So she gets on the phone, madder than a wet hen, calls up Great Falls Gas Company, and the girl on the other end goes, Great Falls Gas Company, may I help you? Very politely. My sister goes, yes, I'd like to know why my pump dang gas bill is so punk gone high. And there was a moment of silence, and the girl goes, probably because it's been so punk dang cold. And my sister goes, thank you. boy, she accomplished a lot, didn't she? We got her to get her working for Mayor Dan Sullivan on this gas deal. Do we have any happy fucks?
Yeah, President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I do have ten happy dollars. I was happy to come here and visit good friends here, so that's my five happy dollars. The second five, moose hunting season, I'm one happy fellow, so there he goes. There's an imitator over there, Bill Glass, you know. He knows how to cook, so he doesn't know how to call yet, so you can come to my workshop next time, Bill. So I did get a moose for a friend of mine with a bow and arrow. I called one in 20 yards, and he got one with his bow and arrow. So that's pretty good. That's last year was 17 yards, so this year it's 20. So
that's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
20 yards is about from here to that screen.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Welcome over here, Matt.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, my name is Sylvia Condi. I went to visit my 85-year-old cousin, and she plays the piano at an old folks home. And she said they needed exercise, so she made up a line dance to go with "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
What a friend we have.
I love it. Mr. Jeff.
President Rick, Sergeant Arm Dave, fellow attorneys, my name is Jeff Bone. The 29th will be the next ARI meeting. It will be at my house in the evening. There will be line libations. There will be line dancing. I don't know if it will be to that tune, but we'll try all of that. The other thing I have here is eight happy dollars. My son Will, who a lot of you know, last Thursday was my birthday, and it was his first high school football game as a freshman. For service, and he scored a 76-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter, the first time he ever ran with the ball, and then he scored the two-point conversion, and he carried the ball five times for 120 yards throughout the day. Now he's the starting running back for the school, and then he gave me the football, which I had him sign because it'll be worth millions someday, or I will auction it off at the foundation auction. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Great.
That Will is he's a heck of a son, I got to tell you.
He is a heck of a son, but he's staying away from my daughter, Jessica, that's for sure. President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I just want to encourage all of you. There's many of you that show up once a month, the second Saturday of every month, to help with the mobile food pantry distribution. The next one is not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, September 12th. And there's a sign-up sheet on there. I know most of you have this on your calendar, but just let us make sure that enough people are coming. And, you know, we have prospective members come. We have guests come. We have children, babysitters. We've had the whole slew. So just bring as many as you can. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, Karen Smith, and happy $5, and I'll piggyback on Dave. My six-year-old taught me a lesson last week and said we were driving and there was someone asking for money, and I said, well, we usually give money to foundations or the Rotary. She said, well, you're not a Rotarian anymore, Mommy. You don't go to Rotary. And I said, well, I haven't been. And she said, well, I really miss going to give out food at the, with the food bank. And I said, well, sometimes I just can't do it. And she said, well, my first grade teacher said, you never say can't. So I'm on 2 weeks in a row. I'm very happy, but I will be bringing my littlest one, Megan, who's in preschool. So her teacher's letting her leave early every Wednesday so we can make it together as a team. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you. President Rick and fellow Rotarians, I'm Bill Faulkner, and I have a happy $10 because next spring I'm going to have a new little chapter in my life, and I think it's called Grandpahood or Grandpadom or something, so that'll be the first time around for me. And I'll see, I know President Rick, you went through that recently, and so my oldest daughter, Whitney, is down in Boise, and sometime end of February or first part of March, so we're pretty excited about that.
Well, congratulations, Bill. That's wonderful. And Bill's still up there before Carolyn says anything. Bill, I just want to let you know that this club is so supportive of grandkids and just love them so much. When I first brought a picture of my granddaughter to the club, I said that I would give a dollar to anybody who wanted to look at the picture of the club, for the club, and every single person wanted to see a picture of my granddaughter. So they just love grandkids. So you might bring a picture of your granddaughter, Bill.
President Rick, I have an Anchorage East Rotary factoid for you. I'm standing behind downtown Rotarian Bill Bass. You should know that that banner right behind you, our club banner, was designed by him.
Oh, really? I'll be darned. Way to go, Bill.
This guy's got a lot of talent. President Rick, fellow Rotarians and guests, my name is normally Kevin Curtis, but today, and this is a stretch, I'm Paul McGuire. Paul McGuire would like to announce to all of you, if you have tickets for The Lion King and you have not RSVP'd, please do so to Shirley at the Captain Cook immediately, if not sooner. But most important, have a great day.
Thanks, Kevin.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I'm Alex Slivka, visiting from downtown Rotary, and I'm here with Vivian Murray, and I have 20 happy bucks because I'm going to hear, and we're hawking our annual raffle tickets. We're trying to raise money to help support the Planet Walk, and so we have 300 tickets for sale, $100 a pop. You have 12 chances to win, top prize, $3,000, the kicker for Rotarians. If you choose to donate your prize toward your Paul Harris, the downtown club will match that. So if you win $3,000 and you decide to put that toward your Paul Harris, we'll also match that for $3,000. And we have a credit card machine, and we'll be selling them for the next 3 weeks until October 20th, which is the date of the drawing. So buy early, buy often. Thanks.
Okay, good. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
President Rick, Sergeant-at-Arms Dave, fellow Rotarians, I'm Sally Archer, and I have $5 because I'm very happy and also very proud. For the past couple of weeks, I've been in Boston visiting friends and family. That's where I lived before coming here. And so it was absolutely marvelous to be with my people. That's why I'm so happy. And I'm also very proud of my sister and her wife, Beth, who have been together as long as my husband and I have been, which is 14 years, but it was only 5 years ago that they were finally able to marry in Boston, and they're just happy as a lark and like two peas in a pod, and I'm just so proud of them.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really nice.
Kathleen. President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I'm Kathleen Madden. I have an I'm proud and I'm in awe of this guy, Buck. Amber Bacharai is our speaker today. He had a bunch of us over for dinner last night for his wife's birthday, but I want to tell you a little fact that he told me as he was practicing his speech, and he's probably not going to tell you today, but when he was 9 years old till he was 12 years old, he walked to school 3 hours each direction. And I just think that is amazing. So he's going to give us a great talk today. So I'm very proud of Amber.
That is amazing.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, I think this is my first happy buck as a nonprofit person. I've donated $10. On your table, you have a little notice about the Salmon on Parade event. It's next Friday night at the Sheraton Hotel, and all the beautiful salmon that you've seen around town are there that night. It's a fun dinner. They're auctioned off, and charities share the proceeds. So this year, the Anchorage Urban League is one of the recipients. And I don't know how to do this, but I have two free tickets. One of our corporate sponsors had a couple of extra seats at their table, and maybe when you're doing the drawing, we could auction them off or...
No, I think you should give them to the president.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And here's the extra
simple
kicker. I'll throw in another two if you promise to buy a fish.
I got outbid by a 12-year-old 3 years ago. We'll do it at the auction or at the drawing.
I got to stop at Lance because, you know, after... Matthew stood up and is going moose hunting. Lance.
I do have some happy bucks. Matthew, I did not know about the class. I have got to get in next year. My son and I will be taking off moose hunting this Friday. It'll be my son's 13-year-old. He'll be his first trip, and I think I'm more excited than he is, so looking forward to it.
That's wonderful.
I kind of put him on the spot on that, didn't I, Lance? You didn't expect that.
I have a happy dollar because a guest from last week, Steve O'Brien, the executive director of Anchorage Montessori School, actually came to a meeting last week with me and then came back. So,
right.
I'm also happy because we're sitting at the table with Bob Schatz. No connection, but he's the membership chair.
Fantastic. Welcome to Rotary.
Thank you.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, my happy buck is a proud buck. Richard Dyson, would you just stand up over there? Now, you'll notice that Richard and I are dressed alike, and the reason is because we both took this summer job for Holland America Princess Cruise at the airport. It may be a plug. And I always knew I liked Richard Dyson, but it's been such a joy to work with you. I just love you a lot. I'm just proud to call you my friend. That's my buck.
Well, that's really nice. You know, I just... The distinction is, of course, is that's Rick Godfellow and that's Rick Modfellow. So you know, you got to watch how Rick dresses. He's very with it.
I think that was terrific. Do we have any more complex happy bucks?
Oh, whoops,
a few.
Actually, I have two things. One came up because Dave Kester mentioned his daughter, Jessica. So I'm going to give my dollar and be happy and proud about her. I don't know if any of you at Rick's open house at his lake house got to talk to Jessica and hear her play and hear her sing her songs. She's a terrific singer-songwriter. And I'm sorry if you missed having that opportunity, but I'm really proud of your daughter and impressed with her, Dave. Congratulations on having such a good gal. Now, the announcement. The first thing is, I'm sorry that this comes up in hunting season, but there's a very important public service project, a one-shot deal, that I think that our club should participate in. Bruce and I go to the state park public use cabins in Resurrection Bay. We were at the Callisto Canyon cabin in August, early August, right after the bad floods in July in Seward area. And we saw that the Callisto cabin is threatened because of a previous flood that brought down a bunch of trees, and apparently the state park went in and cut the trees into chunks. Well, the chunks have now been moved into a big log dam that's blocking the main creek channel and is forcing the water toward the cabin. This cabin had to be moved once before, and so Bruce and I came up with this project to go down on Sunday the 13th and cut those logs to make a hole in the channel. I've contacted the Seward Rotary Club, and they're going to see if they can get some people to help. I hope we have some people with chainsaws and maybe with very sturdy teenage sons and daughters who can help us with this. Miller's Landing has volunteered that they will provide transportation for simply the cost of the fuel to take us out there. They will also provide campsites at their Miller's Landing, and if their cabins aren't rented, they'll let us use their cabins the night before. The situation with the cabins is they rent from noon to noon, and so we can't get in before noon on Sunday because we'll be chainsawing during somebody else's private period right at the cabin. So I hope that some of you will talk to me afterwards or think about it and then contact me or contact Bruce. We're trying to get together a work party. The work would be on Sunday the 13th. We could go down on Saturday the 12th if you want to have a camping out in Seward experience. Otherwise, arrive early on Sunday morning. But I think it's a really good one-shot service project that we can do for the community.
Thank you, Sandra. And the third Rick, Rick Godfellow, Rick Modfellow, not Rick Goodfellow.
All the Ricks are accounted for, President Rick. Rick Goodfellow here. I've got a happy dollar. It's well worth it. I'm always happy when Matthew Nicolai comes and makes up with us again. But, you know, there's been a lot of assumed knowledge here today, President Rick. There's been some turnover. There are at least three, maybe four, maybe more people at my table who have never, ever heard a Matthew Nicolai moose call. So, Matthew, I'll give $100 to your Paul Harris if you'll demonstrate.
Can't turn that down.
Now, Matthew, Rick didn't say if it was a bull moose challenging a female in heat or what exactly he wanted to do. So you better explain.
And you know what? Most moose callers think it's a bull call that brings them in. It's a chirping noise that brings the moose in. And that's a yupik trick.
But that's really, not in that way.
So, that's how I bring the bulls, because they're horny.
But that's I've heard female humans make a chirping call like that. So you need to do a little bit more. Give them the bull moose challenge.
You know, okay. Something funny about President Rick last year. We invited him. We went out, and I made my call early in the morning. Next thing we see, Rick, right in the middle of the field, he has his gun out, and he's going toward the moose. That's a no-no. So you stay when I call moose out. So that's the way we challenge. That's a challenge call. That's basically challenging. And when I hear, you know, one going like that, that means they have a female. Then I go loud. I'm not going to go loud. If I go loud, I'm going to chase them away. I'm bigger than them. So I do a little one. Meaning, I'm challenging, but I'm the tiny one. So, meaning if the bull's going to come out looking for a fight, that's when they're shot. So that's the trick to, you know, calling. So I thought I'd make fun out of it. So, thank you,
okay.
Rick. Thank you, Matt.
We miss you, Matt. Rick, we also have a no fine button.
Okay,
so
we'll do that. Suzanne Yak, is Suzanne here? Because she got shorted last week on the no fine button, and she is not. So we're going to auction it off for this month. It's only a 3-week month, I think. No, well, it's a 4-week month, but is it a 5-week month? Oh, it's 5-week month, so you get 4 weeks, actually, because it'll start next week. So you get a full 4 weeks, so you can, that was good. I'm glad everybody told me, so you can bid higher. Now, Paul is not here to auction it off. Matt, did you want to auction off the no fine button?
Okay.
I know that I've seen you an auction or two, and hopefully we'll get $3,000, but if we get 150, that'll be okay.
So we're going to auction up to 3,000, so we'll start at $2,000. Can I get a two? Looking for a bid. Can I get a bid? Looking for a bid. Can I get a bid? Looking for a bid. Looking for two. How about one? How about 500? How about 200? How about 100? How about $50? Can I get $50? Looking for $50. Can I get $50? Got 50 right here. Looking for 100. Got 50 right here. Looking for 100. Got 50 right here. Looking for 100. Got 50. Looking for 100. Got 50. Looking for 100. Got 50. Looking for 100. Got $50. Looking for 100. Got 100 over here. Looking for 150. Got 100. Looking for 150. Don't wait and take it for 150. Got 150 right here. Looking for two. 150 right here. Looking for two. Got 150 right here. Looking for two. Got 150. Girl's gonna take it from you, Jim. Stone. Got 150 looking for two. 150 looking for two. Got 150 looking for two. Anybody want the bid to go up? Want the bid to go up? Got 150 looking for two. Got 150 looking for two. 150 looking for two. 150 looking for two. Got 150 going once. 150 going twice. 4 full weeks. Big time summer spending. $150 sold right here.
Okay.
$100. Thank you.
Very clever.
Wow. This guy is multi-talented.
Okay,
thank you, Rick.
Thank you very much, Dave. two bits of short club business before our speaker. We're announcing now for the third time, two in our publications and one publicly, that Tim Woolston is a prospective member. And if anybody has any objection to Tim, let us know. And if not, we'll be going forward and we'll be inaugurating Tim pretty quickly. So that's one item. The second item is the board meeting is scheduled for the third Tuesday of each month. The third Tuesday comes on September 15th this month, and unfortunately I don't get back in town. I schedule my trip to get back in town in time for Rotary on Wednesday, but not in time for our board meeting on Tuesday. So if we can do it on the 22nd, I checked with Sue Foley, the room is open on the 22nd, so I'd like to move our board of directors meeting to 5 p.m. on the 22nd, and because I'm moving it, I'll bring the food. So I'll bring the food, and I'll also email everybody and remind them that this is the 22nd of September, 5 o'clock, First National Bank boardroom. Okay, I'm ready to introduce our guest speaker. I know him personally, and so... Oh, Karen's speaking first. Okay. Are you going to introduce Karen? Okay. Diana's going to introduce Karen, and then I'm going to introduce Amber. I knew that, Karen. I was just seeing if you remember Diane. Okay.
Thank you, Rick. I'm happy to introduce Karen Ferguson. She is the Program Director of Refugee Assistance and Immigration Services, Program of Catholic Social Services. In addition, she also serves as the State Director of the Refugee Coordinator of the State of Alaska. Karen has been with the program since its inception in 2003. She is a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in cross-cultural work. She has assisted in the resettlement of individuals from across the globe, from Kosovo and the former Soviet Union to Darfur, India, and Bhutan. Please give Karen a warm welcome.
Thank you. And I know we're all very excited to hear Amber's speech, so I'm here to kind of set the stage and explain a little bit about refugee resettlement, and then we'll turn it over to Amber. As Diana said, the Refugee Assistance and Immigration Services is a program of Catholic Social Services, and Catholic Social Services is really the social service arm of the Archdiocese of Anchorage. In this capacity, Catholic Social Services has been committed to welcoming the stranger for over 20 years. The RAISE program, however, started just 6 years ago, and our mission is not only to welcome, but to be a bridge for refugees from their past lives to the fulfillment of independent and successful lives here in America. Refugees are individuals who have fled their country of origin due to violence and persecution. They flee to find safety, and they have a hope of returning home. They don't go seeking other opportunities. When that hope for going home is no longer realistic, the United Nations begins a process of resettling refugees to another country. The U.S. takes in more refugees than any other country due to our country's profound commitment to offering sanctuary and to those who are oppressed. This is a different process than admitting immigrants to enter our country to pursue educational or economic opportunities. For refugees, they did not necessarily ever want to come to the United States. What they seek is much more basic, the right to life, freedom, and safety from persecution. Through a process overseen by the Department of State, and it's a process that became federalized in 1980 under the Refugee Resettlement Act, and in partnership with the Department of Homeland Security, refugees are interviewed, and only 1 in 500 is ever accepted for resettlement. So when you meet a refugee, they are a person who is extremely exceptional just by virtue of their status, and when you start to get to know them in person, you realize all of the qualities that made them get to that point. When refugees come to the United States, they go through a federally approved and funded program, and they're assigned to a location based on really one factor, whether they have a relative in the United States. So refugees have come to Alaska for many years, even before our program, because they had relatives here. So we have former Soviet Union refugees or the Kosovo Albanian refugees, and even the first wave of Hmong refugees that were coming here. We're all joining family members, and the United States makes it a mandate that as much as possible refugees be reunited with their families. But many refugees who are seeking sanctuary and are accepted to the United States don't have any relative in the United States. And so then they are assigned to a site based on that site's capacity linguistically and culturally to support the refugee. So sites basically become designated to accept certain populations. When for a refugee resettlement program, we are responsible for comprehensive social services for up to the first 5 years that the person is in the United States. We also are responsible for a referral and consultation for any refugee who's been in the country even more than 5 years, and that's really my other role as a state refugee coordinator. I work with many different ethnic groups who originally came here as refugees. And we also, in our program, provide legal assistance for refugee clients, helping them to get their green cards and eventually their citizenship. So who do we serve here in Alaska? We have approximately 1,000 refugees right now that are currently enrolled and active in our program. 27% of those are people who arrive direct from their country of origin, like Amber did. 67% are called secondary migrants. In other words, they came to another state first, maybe Nebraska, Kentucky, Wisconsin, and then decided to move up to Alaska for really the exact same reasons as any of us who are transplants here to Alaska come, because we have hopes for economic opportunities, maybe for a more peaceful and tranquil lifestyle, a sense of adventure and change. The countries that we have represented in terms of our refugee population in Alaska include former Soviet Union refugees, which should be no surprise based on our history, but also Southeast Asian refugees, especially the Hmong refugees. Then we have Cuban entrants who generally make their way up, often from Florida, and find Alaska a new home. We have people from various different African countries, most specifically Sudan, Congo, which is former Zaire, and Somalia. And then from South and Central America, and finally, most recently, from Asia, and specifically from Bhutan. The assistance that we provide, refugees when they come here are treated differently by our country based on the need for sanctuary than another immigrant might be. First of all, they're immediately authorized for work. So the minute a refugee steps on U.S. soil, they are authorized for work, no work permit needed. They're also immediately authorized for public benefits, and I'll come back to this in a moment. They do tap into the public benefits welfare to work system when they first arrive here. They're provided refugee health screenings to make sure that we are providing the necessary health care to help them become healthy, productive individuals in our society. And they're provided with English language and job readiness training to help them become self-sufficient. So our motto in our program is that we are really, really good at getting people on public assistance, and we are even better at getting them off. We actually often are the highest contractor for the state in terms of our outcomes for moving people out of the welfare system into work. 3/4 of our refugee families at any time do not receive public assistance after 12 months of being in the U.S. 87% of our clients who ended public benefits last year ended them due to being employed. 90% of our new primary arrivals, people coming direct from their country, are employed within 6 months of arrival. And that speaks not only to our terrific program, but to the incredible motivation of refugees who first arrive here. And finally, more than 50% of our employable clients at any given time in our program, that includes those that just arrived yesterday to those who have been with us 4 years, are employed. So the RAISE staff that work in the program are very diverse. We have about 14 staff right now who speak about 6 different languages, including Arabic, Newar, Spanish, Russian, Hmong, and Nepali. The staff come from all over the world: Russia, Ukraine, Guatemala, Somalia, Sudan, Laos, and the Dominican Republic. Finally, our work starts when we know a refugee is coming to Alaska. We find apartments. We furnish them with all the basic needs through donations only. We have no funds for that. It all comes from the community. Then we meet clients at the airport, and we begin a 5-year relationship. We help them learn English, receive medical training, learn the bus system, understand what Saran Wrap is, enroll in school, and begin seeking employment. In addition to our intensive case management, we have a specialized program to assist refugees in making Alaska truly their home. So we have a group that gardens and sells produce at the farmer's market to learn about self-employment. We have a community-based interpreter program for those who are bilingual and might be able to help out their fellow community members. We have citizenship classes and job readiness classes. So currently, for the program, the approved groups that we receive when refugees don't have a relative here are from Bhutan, and that's actually our largest group right now. From Sudan, mainly the Darfur region, Somalia, and then former Zaire, as I mentioned, the Democratic Republic of Congo. We also have a lot of people in Anchorage who are refugees, such as the Hmong and the Southern Sudanese. We do love partnering with our community members. This is the second chance I've had to work to speak to a Rotary group, and it's quite an honor. We have lots of ways that you can connect with us if you feel so inclined. We definitely, like any good nonprofit, love cash. So we actually have a revolving loan fund that helps refugees when they just need a little bit of extra money. It's a no-interest loan that we revolve. So as the refugees pay in, then we have money to pay out to another refugee. It sometimes helps them cover a little bit of utilities costs or extra rent or some purchases that they need when they first arrive. We don't let refugees get into major debt by any means. We always accept donations of household items and furniture. So I left on your tables both our brochure and our current donation list. We are always looking for help with rental apartments because we have a slight unique situation and we think we have great tenants. And we are always seeking employment opportunities, and we have people very motivated and eager to work. And finally, we look for volunteers such as family mentors, ESL tutors, and gift holiday support. And that's how I'm most recently connected with Diana and Sandra. Sandra and I go way back, but so that's how people can actually get connected and have the type of relationship that some of you have had with Amber's family. So usually I start and I end with a story, but I can't do that right now because we're going to have the honor of having Amber speak. You have before you one of our newer refugee arrivals, I'm really honored to be able to join you in listening to Amber share his thoughts with us. Thank you.
Diane has asked me to introduce Amber, and I told her I would be proud to do so. In 1991, in Bhutan, in an effort at racial purification, the king of Bhutan expelled about 100,000 people from Bhutan who didn't meet the requirement for the pure racism, the race that he was looking for. Many of them went to Nepal. Amber was one of those who went to Nepal, and he was in a refugee camp along with a brother and his parents in Nepal in a tent in a refugee camp for 17 years. So I lived in a refugee camp for 17 years in Nepal, and when Karen was talking about when there's no chance that they're going to get back to their home country, the 17 years sort of qualifies that as no chance they were going to ever get back to their home country. He met his wife in the refugee camp, had two kids born while he was in the refugee camp, has two wonderful young kids, and his wife is just really, really sweet. Amber and his brother have been working for us this summer, doing maintenance and doing painting and doing landscaping and things like that. And I've got to tell you, they're the best-dressed landscapers that we've ever had. They come to work to the landscaper with a nice shirt and pants and just dress, but they're actually very good workers and have done a wonderful job for us. One of Amber's goals was to learn to drive, and so I thought, well, I'll help Amber learning to drive. Well, they had been painting our deck out at our lake house, and I thought, well, I'll let Amber drive through this long driveway we have and get home, or get out to this road, and then I'll take over. Well, when you're a little kid, you have little toy cars that you turn the steering wheel, and left goes this way and right goes this way. But if you've never had a toy car, never had a bicycle, never had a go-kart or anything like that, you don't really know if you turn this which way. If you want to go right, do you turn the steering wheel this way or this way? You don't know. I didn't realize that, so I tossed him the keys. I said, Amber, why don't you get us out to the road? And he laughed, and we moved the seat up and got the seat, and his brother ducked his head and got in the back seat. And so we pulled out of our driveway into our main driveway, and Amber was going a little bit to the left, a little bit toward the lake. And I said, Amber, you got to go a little to the right. And he went a little more toward the lake, and I said, Amber, to the right. And he went whew, like that. And he went mercifully short of the lake, into the ditch, short of the lake. But he has been taking lessons, and he passed his written test. So he's a wonderful human being, and I'm proud to introduce that 1 in 500 and probably 1 in 50,000, Amber Buttari. Amber.
For introducing me as a speaker in this meeting. Hello, Rotarians and the guests. My name is Amber Buttari. I am from Bhutan. This is my first time to give a speech in English before such a large group. Well, this is my family. I'm married to Beam, and we have two children. Nar is 12 and Manisha is 8, and arrived in Anchorage on April 22, 2009 from a refugee camp in Nepal where we live for the past 17 years. First, I'll tell you about my country. Bhutan is a small country with 14,000 square miles in size, with a population of about 830,000 people. It is in South Asia, located at the end of eastern end of Himalaya Mountain, bordered by India to the south, east and west, and China to the north. In the north of Bhutan are great Himalaya Mountains, and it is very cold there, whereas southern Bhutan is very warm with subtropical-like weather. The state religion is Buddhism, and the population is predominantly Buddhist, with Hinduism being the second largest religion. The country is headed by a monarch, and in 2007, a democratic system was established and elections were held. Bhutan has a fast-growing economy in the world, with an annual economic growth rate of 22%. As of March 2006, Bhutan's per capita income was $1,321 per year. Bhutan's economy is based on agriculture, forestry, tourism, and sale of hydroelectric power to India. Agriculture provides the main livelihood for more than 80% of the population. Handicrafts, particularly weaving, are a small cottage industries. Now, the life in Bhutan. In 1961, my father moved to Bhutan from India and decided to settle there permanently. He married my mom in 1968 and had six children, with four boys and two girls, and I am the oldest. For about 20 years, we lived on a 10 acres of farm in southern Bhutan and grew corn, rice, potatoes, beans, and gingers. We also had cows, goats, and horses as well. Now the story how we became the refugees. In 1985, the government of Bhutan amended the Citizenship Act and adopted the policy of one nation, one people, meaning they wanted everyone to only speak Dzongkha, the language of Bhutan. To implement this policy, the government put restrictions on Nepalese cultural practices such as dancing, celebrations, and teaching of Nepali language in the school system. Furthermore, in 1988, the government conducted a special registration program taking 1958 as the reference years of immigration. In that registration process, citizens were placed in seven different categories. My family was placed in non-citizen category, which included everyone who had arrived in Bhutan after 1958. As I said, my father had not come until 1961. As a result, the government seized all our properties, identifications, and forced us to leave the country in 1991. My family, along with other people, walked several miles to cross the border at India and eventually came to a refugee camp in Nepal by hiring a truck from India. Now I'm going to talk about life in the refugee camp. Life in the refugee camp was challenging. However, food, shelter, basic health facilities, and education up to secondary level were provided by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees with collaboration with other organizations. I was able to work there in the camp, in the school as a teacher, and also I worked as an assistant principal for about 3.5 years. And there were 2,100 students in my school and 75 staff. And I was also the supervisor of a disability program which was incorporated, attached with the school. This picture shows a typical home in the refugee camp. The first one in the right was my house in the camp. And the floor, they had a dirt floor and no electricity, and we carried water from nearby tap. The people used to go to the distribution center to get food after 2 weeks. And so life was very difficult in the camp. And these are some of my relatives. They are standing in front of their homes. Early in the morning, they go out from the camp in the village for work and come back in the evening. And those are the flowers grown by my dear wife Bim before we got married. And she's a good wife. That is, she can grow flowers and vegetables. Okay, this is Nar and Manisha, our children, when they are young, standing in our vegetable garden in the camp. Behind them is our outhouse. Now I'm going to talk about the steps taken to solve the refugee problem. So many attempts have been made to solve the issue. The government of Bhutan and Nepal have held 15 rounds of talk to find a solution, but all was in vain. But in 2007, the option of third country settlement was opened to refugees by United Nations Organization for Refugees, and seven countries, including the USA, agreed to take the refugees for settlement. It was then that I decided to come to USA and settle permanently. Okay, now, so I'm going to talk about. But we had no choice in which state we'd go to. When we heard we are placed in Alaska, many people told us that there is only snow and very few people. Because of my studies, otherwise. But I had to convince my family this would be a good place to live in. My brother and his family also came about the same time as we did. And we hope our parents will come next year. Now, my family and I live in an apartment in Mountain View. Our son Nar is in grade 7 in Clark Middle School, and our daughter Manisha attends Tyson Elementary School. Both of them are the members of the Mountain View Girls, Boys and Girls Club. My wife Bim is studying English and hopes someday to get a job. And today she went to attend an interview. And I'll be working on my GED. I have taken driver's training, but I need more practice before I can give my driver's test. And I want full-time employment so that I can support my family. There are several things that we really like in Anchorage. People do not look down on you for what you are wearing, the first thing. Second thing, people smile at you and everyone is so friendly. And this was not there where I came from. Bus transportation is easy and comfortable compared to the place where I am from. And shopping is convenient. We did not have to bargain with the shopkeeper. and it was not like there. And we are here with new hope and enthusiasm. And this is my son Nar riding a boat at Rick's house, and he was so excited. And this is my daughter Manisha with a doll and a dollhouse from given by Gloria Krohn, sitting on the bed, just donated by Rachel. And we are very much thankful, and we are very much happy to have different things. And so given by the Rotarians, and here we are using the laptop donated by Stephanie Kessler, an employee of GCI, and we are very happy to have them. At last, but not the least, I would like to thank all the Rotarians who have helped us with so many household items and some part-time work. Otherwise, without this help, I would not be able to speak like this. And we feel most welcome here and appreciate all you have given us. I'm very much happy, and though it is a big difference here, with a new life, with a new, and everything is new here. Even then, I'm very happy that I have my friends, I have other people to help me, and they are behind me. So I'm very happy. Once more, I'd like to thank the Rotarians who have helped me by giving different things. Lots of things are provided to me. Dryer and washer, beds, clothes, and blankets, so many things are there. It takes long time for me to go and listing here till. So anyway, I'm very happy, and on behalf of my family, I would like to thank once more again to the Rotarians for kind help. And I'd like to stop my speech here and thank you.
Amber, that was a wonderful speech, and I think you have a feeling for the kind of person Amber is, just a quality person. Okay, we have our raffle, and while Dave's setting up for the raffle, I just want to remind everybody about Food Bank. And Dave, when is that? A week from Saturday, September 12th, isn't it? September 12th at 1:30 p.m. and September 13th, Sunday, if you can help out Sandra Wicks and take on, help out with that project, please see Sandra to clear the log jam. And reminder, the board meeting will be September 22nd. So that's it. Dave?
Okay. Amber, if you'd like to draw a ticket.
Thank you, Amber.
Thank you, Amber. The number that Amber has selected is 607.
Wait a minute. Nobody's claimed it.
Nobody has 607?
Nope.
Wow.
607, nope.
That has never happened.
Okay.
And there's $228 in the pot. Amber, can you select another one, please?
Oh, we do.
We do.
Oh, Ventus. Oh, who was that? Ventus? Ventus, come on up and pop.
Oh.
Oh, Ventus does have a little challenge seeing and hearing, so that's. But Ventus, do you want to ask somebody to do it for you? Okay, great. Okay, come on up. Let's see if you can do it. Dave, explain the rules.
Okay, this is the putter, and you have your choice of which cup to hit the ball in. 1 8-foot putt. Half the pot you get with this, so you get $114. You get the whole pot if you make it in this. And you get one putt.
Big cup or small cup? Big cup for half the pot or small cup for the whole pot? Take the big one. The big one, yeah, take the big one, okay? Okay, Susan.
Here you go.
Okay.
All you gotta do is hit it straight in there.
Oh, so close. Oh, that was close.
That was a great try. Thank you very much.
Okay. Paul Clark, what did you need?
Thanks, Rick. I have one announcement. If you're out for this Friday art walk, stop by the Egan. I'm going to have a show in the windows of the Egan, life-size prints of 50 Alaskans on our 50th anniversary. Love to see you.
Neat. Okay. Thank you very much, Clark. Wonderful photographer. We are adjourned.